thank the Lord. Let's worship him. He is our King. He is our Lord. There is none like him. There is none to be compared with him. Let's bless him. Let's bless him. Father, we thank you. We give a praise and glory. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Please sit. So has it been? So has it been since yesterday? I need a response. Great. Are you being challenged? I don't know. That last session for me was heart-provoking and humbling. Yeah. Really, really, really humbling. Seeing the challenge that is ahead of us, the things that we have to do, the things that we have to get done. I don't know about you. We are living in a dangerous time. We are living in a dangerous time. We have to prepare and do all that we can to live through it. Live through it. Because we can't pray it away. We can't fast to remove the times in which we live, the difficult times. We have to know how to live through it. Live through the season. Trust God to help us that as we are living through it, our faith is staying intact. The Bible says if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So the issue is not the adversity, but the strength that you have made of. And so we have to trust God to help us to strengthen our heart and strengthen our faith in God that nothing in this world can affect or damage our faith. Hallelujah. I want to talk about keep it because the future demands it. Keep it. The future demands it. So what are you supposed to keep? So let me keep in suspense to the end. Yeah. And this is going to be my own contribution to the Immortality Readiness Conference, Lagos, 2024. Pastor Jay made a statement yesterday about whether there's a difference between the kingdom of heaven and that the kingdom of God. And where I was, I just laughed because I remember I bought the study Bible several years ago. And I read in that study Bible that I won't mention the name of the study Bible so that I won't spoil my cut. That there's a difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And I believe it. In fact, I wasn't married then, so I was still courting my wife. So I wanted to show her that I just have a new revelation. So I went to a hostel where she was staying, and I was bamboozling her with new revelation that I caught until she was nodding her head. Nodding her head. Ah, my husband has come with Rema. but many years ago, you know, I have to sit down with scriptures. And I just did, and that's what I'm going to advise you to do when you want to do a topical study. Just speak your concordance and search the word and then sit down and be reading it one after the other. And that was what I did. Just sat down. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. I didn't need any teacher to tell me because it was obvious from scriptures. And so, let me just quickly point that to us so that because at times when statements are made like that, some of us don't go back to check. So let's see, is there a difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God? So let's see that. Matthew 13, verse 31. This is just a side talk. Matthew 13, verse 31. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, right? Which a man took and sowed in his field. Now, Matthew says, the kingdom of what? The kingdom of... No, me, I'm not Pastor Kinka, Pastor... Me, I flow more when I ask us a question and then you reply. You understand that? Please, so when I talk, please, I want to respond, please. I beg you. That's the way you can encourage me. You know, when Pastor Yemi came, just started flowing. You know, some of us, we need a propeller. You know, you whine, you know that thing. And then you just move. Some of us, we need that. So I need it. So please, when I talk, I need you to respond. So Matthew, okay, we've read that. So Matthew called it the kingdom of what? The kingdom of heaven. Now, what parable is this? The parable of the mustard seed, right? So let's look at the Mark account. Mark account. Mark chapter 4, verse 30. Mark chapter 4, verse 30. Then he said to them, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It's like a mustard seed, which when it is sown, you see that? Mark call it what? The kingdom of God. Matthew call it the kingdom of heaven. You understand what I'm trying to show us? The same parable, but different language. So it's the same thing. You understand that? So let's see more. Let's see the account of Luke. Luke 13, verse 18. Luke 13, verse 18. Then he said to them, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It's like a mustard seed. So you see the same thing. So Luke used the word the kingdom of God. It was only Matthew that used the kingdom of heaven. And then from my observation, I realized that Matthew, if you read the book of Matthew, Matthew uses more of the kingdom of heaven. He hardly used the word kingdom of God, but it's the same thing because the Bible does not contradict himself. Now, anytime you see something that looks like contradiction, knows that is your understanding or interpretation that is actually false. And that is very position you must always adopt when it comes to the Bible. You must never believe that the Bible contradicts itself. So when you are seeing contradiction, just tell yourself, it is me that is not understanding it well. So I need to understand it more. So when it says in contradiction, they need to dig deep. Let me give you maybe one more because of time, because I know that some of you are looking at what is this man doing there? Let Pastor Jay come and teach us the kingdom. Okay. Especially Bishop Binka. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Matthew 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? Yeah. So let's look at Mark's account. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. I think this two is enough now. So I don't need to bore you with too many scriptures. It's enough. So the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, they're the same thing. Yeah. I didn't start off like that too. I have to learn. I just told you how I bamboozled bamboozled my wife with the revelation that I got from a study Bible. And I remember what you said to me, that when I'm reading commentary, I have to be very careful. Especially when we're talking about the end time. Yeah, I will never forget that advice. That actually helped me. Yeah. Am I saying that commentaries are wrong? No. But you have to read it with caution. Yeah, with caution, and then with an open understanding that, and then compare with what you have, what the Bible is saying. Because it's also woman being that compile it. So there's a room for some of those things. So that doesn't mean that probably they're heretic, no. So keep it. The kingdom's in man's seat. The first thing I want to register in our heart is this. That God loved the world, the Bible tells us. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave. He gave his holy begotten son. So you see there that the love is not emotional. Love is not just feeling. Love is action. And we see God demonstrating his love by what he gave. He gave Jesus to the world. Because he loved the world. So the giving of Jesus to the world is a demonstration of the love of God to the world. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. NLT. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people will not be willing to die for an upright man, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is specially good. But God shown his great love for us by sending Jesus Christ to die while we are still what? While we are still sinner. So God demonstrated his love while we are still sinner. So Jesus Christ is the demonstration of the love of God for humanity. You understand that? Yeah. Jesus Christ is the demonstration. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. He said, indeed, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. You see that? The love of God was manifested. The love of God was demonstrated. By what? By Jesus Christ, God giving Jesus Christ. So God loved the world, so he gave Jesus Christ. And then to those who believe in Christ, what happened? The Bible says they were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So the Holy Spirit is the seal that we belong to Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Let's read that. Romans 8, 9. Romans 8, 9. He said, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you, now if any man does not have the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if I don't have the Holy Spirit, then I don't belong to Christ. You understand it? So let's read Ephesians chapter 1. You know, me, I'm a cool teacher. I just teach the word. Pastor J, you know, when you are sitting there, there's something, I just lose my composure. The whole thing will just fly off. So I need to learn how to teach when you are sitting down. I need to grow. Ephesians chapter 1, let's read from verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 13. In him, who is this him? Christ. In him, you also trusted. Can we start from verse 12, thereabout? Okay, or let's start from verse 7. Let's build it from 7. I want to show us something. Okay. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and the which are on earth. These are some of the things Pastor Jace was saying in the morning. Okay? The next verse. Okay, in him also we have what? We have obtained. Is that past, present, or future? We have obtained, okay? An inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. That we who also trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Verse 13, this is where I'm going. In him you, who is this him? Christ. In him you also trusted after you had the word of truth. Right? Right? We trusted in him after we had the word of the, what's the word of truth? The gospel of your salvation. In him also, having believed, you are what? You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So God loved the world, then he gave Jesus Christ. And then those who believe in Christ, what happened? They were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. As what? Verse 14. Who is the what? The guarantee of... But I thought we already have inheritance. I thought he told us we have obtained it. Now he's telling us again that we are... Can you give me this verse from NLT? New Living Translation, please. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised. Huh? So there is an inheritance that we have obtained, and there is one that is still what? Future. This is what Pastor Joe was saying in the morning. Huh? You know, we receive salvation, but that work is not yet complete. No, you know, that was right. Yeah, so see how you can. Now, Jesus Christ has finished the work, you understand? But the effects or the workings of that in our life is not going to be complete until Christ will come. Do you understand that? Okay, so we have obtained and then we are given the Holy Spirit as a guarantee that we're going to have that inheritance, the completion of that. Do you understand this? Hello? Are we together? And the Bible said the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of that. So which means that there is more to what we have in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not all that God wants to give to us. But the Holy Spirit is the foretaste that what is to come. Hello? Hello? Yeah. So let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Let me read from NLT. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. It is God who enabled us, along with you, to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us, and he has identified us as his own, by what? By placing the Holy Spirit in our heart. Look at it. As the what? The first installment that guarantees everything he has what? The first installment. So, Holy Spirit is not all that God has promised us. Holy Spirit is the guarantee that since we've had the first installment, we are going to have all that he has promised us. So, there is more that God has promised us. Are we together? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, from verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, from verse 1. Paul said, for we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down when we die. So he tried to simplify it. So when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself, not by human hands. The next verse, please. I'm going to verse 6. We grow weary in our present body. And we long to put on our heavenly body like new clothing. But we will put on heavenly bodies, we will not be spirit without bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh, but not that we want to die or get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new body so that this dying body will be what? Swallowed up by life. Hello? Now, this event that is described, or this experience that is, do we have it yet? No. Do we have the Holy Spirit? Yes. So this is one of the things we are looking forward to. Can I have this in the Message Bible? Do you have it? The Message Bible. Yeah. No, you have gone to Genesis. He said, for instance, we know that when these bodies of ours are taken down like tents and folded away, then it will be replaced by resurrection bodies in heaven, God made, not handmade. For instance, and we will never have to relocate our tent again. Sometimes we can hardly wait to move. And so we cry out in frustration compared to what is coming. So there is something coming, right? Right? Living condition around here seems like a stopover, an unfinished track, and we are tired of it. We have been given, I love this, we have been given a glimpse of the real thing, our true home, our resurrection bodies. The Spirit of God, this is where I'm going. The Spirit of God, what? Whet our appetite by giving us a taste of what is ahead. Now, what I'm making us to see, there is something ahead. And the giving of the Holy Spirit is the first taste of that. So there is something more that God had in stock for us. That is beyond now. It's ahead. And our eyes must be on that. So when we talk about the coming of Christ, we have all these things in view. Because it is his coming that will bring us to this dimension of life. You understand what we're talking about? I'm seeing some of you, people's eyes closing. You know, that's why it is not good to eat. Because once you are hit, your body just sets you down. Just, just set you down and you start feeling sleepy. And some of you can't even control yourself. Let me move on here because of time. I said there is more in God, and the Holy Spirit is the guarantee that we will have that. And one of such, and that is the ultimate, is the throne. Pastor Jay talked about the kingdom sitting on the throne with Jesus. The throne of who? The throne of who? Pastor Jay, why are you looking at me like that? You are following. The throne of who? The throne of God. That is the kingdom. And that is the goal. That is the goal. And that's what we are looking forward to. And why the Bible has to talk about the new body? Because this body can't live in that kingdom. And that's why we need new body. We need that glorious body because this earthly house cannot function in that kingdom. And that's why the Bible says the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And so why is God changing our mortal flesh, transforming into a glorious body? Because of the kingdom. Because of the throne. Are you understanding what I'm talking about? So meaning that even the transformation of our body, it's not even the hand. It's for something. It's for a purpose. The kingdom. Because we cannot be anything less than the head. Jesus Christ, we heard it in the morning, has already had the body, the glorious body. He was the first begotten from the dead. And so if he's coming back, those he's coming back for and taking us to that throne must have the same body he has. So we can't have something less. And so our body has to be transformed, because this dying body can't live in that realm. Huh? You understanding that? Yeah. Are we together? Yeah, so that's the reason for transformation of our body. Now, having said this, Pastor mentioned yesterday that the kingdom has been promised to us. We read Matthew chapter 25, where it says, enter the kingdom that has been prepared before the foundation. Not that it will be prepared, it has been prepared before the foundation of the world. I don't need to stress again that the kingdom of God is our inheritance. It's our inheritance that's been promised to us. And we are going to receive that at the coming of Christ. Hello? We are coming into that dimension. Let me read Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Luke 12, 32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The kingdom is our inheritance. The kingdom of God is our inheritance. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let me read from verse 1, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 from verse 3, NLT. Dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you, because your faith is flourishing and your love for one another is growing. We proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance. We had it in the morning. And faithfulness in all the persecution and hardship you are, which means that it is possible not to be faithful in the midst of persecution and endurance. And the Bible talks about people who are faithful unto death. So here, Paul is commending the church for being faithful. And that's what is required of us. That in the midst of the difficulty that we face, we have to remain faithful. I told us, you can't pray the difficulties away. You can't wish it away. You must learn how to go through it and then to maintain the right attitude in the midst of suffering and persecution. And that's what it's all about. This is all about strengthening us, equipping us. If you read Acts chapter 14, I think verse 21 or 22 or so. Can I have that? Acts chapter 14, from verse 21 and 22. Look at this. After preaching the good news in Derbe and making many disciples, Paul and Barnabas returned to Lystra and Iconium. Now, if you study the book of Acts, these places they mentioned, they were the places where they were persecuted. Okay? Return to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch of Pisidia, where they were strengthening the believers. They encouraged them to what? Continue. We had it in the morning. I'm just repeating what you have said. And Pastor Dami said it's good to repeat. My pastor said when God repeats a matter, it's not because it's a stammerer. It's for emphasis. Where they were strengthened, where they strengthened the believers and they encouraged them to continue in the faith. Reminding them. Remember, we had that this morning. Reminding them, which if they say reminding them means he has told them before now. Reminding them that we must suffer many hardship to enter the kingdom of God. Hello? Huh? Yeah. So which means that there is no entering without suffering. Whether you believe it or not, what does the Bible say? We have to go through it. And the Bible says, did what? They strengthen them. And that's what we are doing. That's what the Immortality Readiness Conference is all about, to strengthen our faith. Because, friends, we are living in a dangerous time. And listen, Bayika read that yesterday, that this is just the beginning. And as we move close to the time, it's going to get darker. And so we must develop faith. Faith to go through crisis. Because it is not something we can stop. It is not something we can pray away. We must learn how to live through it by faith. So we must learn how to develop faith in the midst of persecution. That the persecution does not swallow all the suffering, the difficulties. So it strengthens the brethren that buy and encourage them. That's all we need. We need encouragement. And that's why the Bible says something. He said, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. He said, do not forsake the assembling of one another as the manner of some is. Which means that some people's attitude, and Pastor said, and it's happening. Online worshipers who stays online and just move from one teaching to the other. Just take everything, hook, like, and sinker without thinking. Without thinking. Apostle of this, apostle of that. I don't know where we get that from, Bible. The marketplace, apostle of the marketplace, apostle of restoration, apostle of faith, apostle of deliverance. I don't understand where we get that one from. Paul said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Apostle of this, apostle of that. Apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. So he said, as we see the day, he said, not as the manner of some is, so much as we see the day approaching. Which day? The day of Christ. He said, we don't forsake the assembly of one another, but what? As the manner of some, but exalting one. And that's what we are doing. We are exalting one another. Why are we doing that? He said, look at, he said, and so much more, which means that as the day is approaching, we have to increase the fervency of this encouragement. We have to increase the fervency. That's why the teaching you listen to are very important in these days. Because there's some teaching that can't make you live well at that time. Those teaching can build strength in you to live through the crisis. So much more as we see the day approaching. Meaning that as the day is approaching, we need more encouragement. And that's why this is not the time to forsake church gathering. Because we need one another. So as the conference was approaching, so many things, we have budget. So many things yet unmet. And we have a principle that God has taught me to live by faith, trusting Him. So one of our brother called, we are George, and it was, we're just talking. We just say, okay, how much do we have? Okay, this is what we have. So we just keep encouraging ourselves. And Ezra just jumped into me when Ezra said, I have already told the king that our God is able to save us. He said, I can't go back to the king and be telling him that we need soldiers. We have told the people that God is going to supply, that our God is a God of more than enough. Then how do we go back and tell them that no, God can't provide? And God began to speak to me, began to remind me. And I came to the scripture that say, by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. And I remember what he said to me when we started Mortality Readiness Conference. He said, I've brought you to a level of more than enough. I was just reading scriptures, Exodus. He said, it was more than enough for the building. I said, no, you won't look for money to run the conference. More than enough. So I started recounting his word. I said, God, I didn't cook that for my mind. You said that to me. So when I posted on Facebook, God does not have the capacity to lie. Some people think that I'm encouraging them. They didn't know I was speaking faith to myself. pastor. It was not a motivational speaking. It was actually for me because I needed to speak it. Listen to this. Confession of faith is not the same thing as positive confession. I hope you know that. What most of us do is positive confession, not confession of faith. What is the basis of your faith? What is the foundation of your faith? Is it God's word? Just positive. I shall not be the head. I shall not be the tail. I shall be the head. Just quoting what you don't understand. Faith is, go and read the book of Hebrews. Those people who demonstrated faith at the instance of what God said to them. What has he said to you? Because if he said it, then it is done. And sir, even this afternoon, as he saw a lot, the conference that we have already finished, and all the bills have been paid, more than enough. More than enough. By two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. I think you must understand the God you are serving in these last days. The Bible said the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and they will do exploit. You must know God. Let me move forward. So the kingdom has been promised us. James chapter 2, verse 3. Okay, I was reading 1 Thessalonians. Can you imagine? And I didn't get there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse, I think I stopped at verse 4. Yeah. We proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and faithfulness in all the persecution and hardship you are suffering. Verse 5, this is where I'm going. And God will use the persecution to do what? To show his justice and to make you worthy of his kingdom. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5, NLT. To make you worthy of the... So which means that the sufferings, the persecution is to strengthen us and make us worthy of the kingdom. So meaning that even God uses the difficulties to make us worthy of what lies ahead. So either way, it's for our favor. Meaning that the persecution, the difficulty is not to harm us, is not to destroy us, but to strengthen us. Are we together? So we have been promised the kingdom. James chapter 2, verse 3. James 2, verse 3 and 4. If you give special attention and a good seed to the rich person, but you say to the poor one, you can stand over there and or else sit on the floor. Well, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgment are guided by evil motives? Listen to me, dear brothers and sisters. Hasn't God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith? Aren't they the ones who will inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? So there is a kingdom that he has promised us. That's what I'm making us to see. Remember, the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall what? Inherit the kingdom. It's the same thing that James is talking about. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. He said, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be what? Shaken. We had it in the morning. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. It's a kingdom that we are receiving. Let me move forward here. And make this next statement. It is interesting to know, which I've already said, that the new body he promised us is because of the kingdom. Because the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. I won't dwell more on that. Now, We have been promised the what? The kingdom. We have been given the Holy Spirit as a foretaste of what lies ahead. And we have said, what lies ahead? The kingdom. And the new body he promised us is also for the kingdom. Now listen to this. Who are those that he promised the kingdom? Let's find out. We read James, right? James chapter 2. Look at something here. James chapter 2, verse 5. Let me read from the New King James right now. Listen, my brothers, my beloved brethren. Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of what? The kingdom which he promised to those who? To those who what? To those who what? If you think that is just by chance, let's read James chapter 1, verse 12. James 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, right? Which the Lord has promised to those who what? Now, the crown of life is not that you will have crown, physical crown on your head. It means the same thing, the throne, the kingdom. Huh? Are we together? Are we together? The same thing. Now, who has he promised the crown? Those who love him. Who has he promised the kingdom? Those who love him. And the Bible says, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, eyes has not seen, ears has not heard, neither has he entered into the heart of men the things that God has promised to those who what? Love him. You know, remember we say something, there is something more. And the Bible says this something more is for those who what? Who what? Love him. Now, I made a statement in the beginning. I said, for God so loved the world, eh? He gave Jesus Christ. Right? God demonstrated his love by giving Jesus Christ. But what lies ahead, the inheritance, is not going to be given because God loved the world. It's going to be given for those who love God. So the question is, do you love the Lord? I remember we said, love is not emotion. It costs God something to give Jesus Christ. And let me say something. It's going to cost us something to love God. Love is not mouth. The Bible says, let us just not love in words, but we should love in what? In deed. Now the question is, you know, there's what we call love language, right? I know some of you are raising. You know, when I was courting my wife, I used to think, I know at the point I used to think that this woman doesn't love me. She will not call. You'll be the one to call. What did you say? What is your wife? That's how she used to do. That's how it's supposed to be. I'm not sure she's. I know at the point, I just say, what kind of relationship is this? I'm the one calling and at least just call for once. I was complaining to a brother and he said to me, I said, have we found out our own love language? That was my first time hearing that. And I have to pay attention. I realized that, wow, she actually have a way by which she communicates love. There's a way God wants us to love him. You can't choose the way you want to love. The Bible says, husband, love your wife. Eh? As Christ. You know, you can't just say, I love my wife. There's a way to love your wife. There's a precise way that God has stated to love your wife. As Christ loved the church. That's the standard. And gave himself for her. Love is sacrifice. And Pastor Oje mentioned that. That is in his sacrifice. And so God told us how he wants us to love him. So two things. If you love God, you obey him. John chapter 14, verse 15. He said, if you love me, keep my commandment. So don't love me on your own terms. Love me by my own terms. The way I want to be loved is to keep my word. Why do you say you love me and then you don't do the things I ask you to do? So we have a generation of people, believers, who are so emotional, who sing songs that we don't understand. Sing songs of love, but we have deficiency in our work with God. Simple obedience we cannot keep. So if you love me, keep my commandment. Read John chapter 14. You will see it there. Jesus talked about, he said, this is how love is manifest. When you love, you obey. Hello? So many scripture that talks about that. Go and read it. So, you love God on his terms, not on your own terms. Not on your own terms. Let me read a scripture. Let me read 1 John chapter 2 from verse 3. Let me read from the NLT. 1 John chapter 2 from verse 3. I love this. And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandment. And if someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandment, that person is a liar and is not living in truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. So how do I show that I love the Lord? He said, those who obey him. I don't have time to be going to depth about this because loving God, the Bible talks about when you love God, you will love your brothers. And these are some of the things we see today because Pastor Itua was talking about slandering other people. The spirit of the last days. You can't love your brother and slander the person. You can't love someone and you are speaking evil of that person. You are carrying false accusation. You are spreading rumors about someone that you have no idea about. You receive a word for someone concerning somebody. You have not proved it. You are spreading it. That's not love. You gossip about your brother. But if you love me, you keep my word. If we truly love God, friends, we will love his appearing. We will love. We will be eager to see him come. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Paul says, I have fought a good fight of faith. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Verse 8 says, and there lies a crown. Verse 8. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. Let me have it in. Okay, let me just read. And the prize is not just for me, but for all those, for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Friends, if you love him, you will look forward to his appearing. You won't hear about his second coming and fear will grip your heart. Or you say, Lord God, don't come here. Let me get married. You know that believer will say that. That Jesus Christ cannot come now because I'm not yet married.
Are you saying that's carnality? You know, because these are people who live in this realm, this earthly realm, they are carnal. Because to them, getting married is superior to the glory that lies ahead. Listen, you know when Paul says something in the book of Romans chapter 8, he says that this suffering that we go through cannot be compared to the glory that lies ahead. Now listen, you can't compare what you have not seen. For Paul to say this suffering cannot be compared with the glory that lies, which means that he has had a revelation of that glory. You know why we don't endure suffering? Because we don't have the revelation of the glory that lies ahead. And Pastor mentioned that the early believers, they have the revelation of that glory. They understood what that glory is. They understood the kingdom. That is why the Bible said they loved not their life even unto the dead. They understood the glory. Bible talked about Moses. Bible said he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a moment. Why? Because you have seen the one who is invisible. The riches of Christ. You know, Moses saw the riches of Christ even before he arrived. Jesus said, Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced. And that impacted on his life, this present time. The Bible says he got to the land that God promised him. He got to the land that God promised him. You know, God promised him, I'm going to give you a land. He left his former country to go to that land. Defile every other thing. Travel at the age of 75. And then you got to the promise the land that God promised you. And you live there as a foreigner. And the Bible says why? Because you have seen a city. You know, the reason why we kill ourselves about what to wear, what to eat, is because, friends, we have not seen something higher. And the Bible says, all these people die without having received the promise, but having seen it from afar. Huh? And the Bible said they embrace it and they confess they are strangers and bring. Listen to me carefully. Listen to this. If what you see in God does not impact your living, then you are blind. You didn't see anything. There's no way you will see the kingdom and it's not impact your life right now. Huh? You can't talk about the fact that Jesus is coming and does not impact the way you live. If it doesn't impact your living, then you have not seen it. The Bible said they saw it from afar, and they confess that they are strangers and pilgrims in this earth, and they live like that. I'm sick and tired. I don't know about you. I'm sick and tired of believers who speak in tongues, but live a devotional life. Who tell lies? Believers who tell lie conveniently. Have you seen believers who tell lie with boldness? I'm tired. We can't trust you. I said, those who look forward to his appearance. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28 tells us that Jesus Christ is coming for those who are eagerly waiting for him. And we read it in the morning, just repeating everything you have said. So I'm a good student. It means I was following you. 1 John chapter 3, right? Verse 1. He said, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? Huh? Yeah. That we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it didn't know him. Verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Verse 3. I love this. I say, and those who have this hope Must what? Purify themselves. That's what I'm telling you. You can't have that as your focus and does not impact your living. Oh. If it does not impact your living, you have not seen it. Then you don't have any hope that is coming. Are we together? 2 Peter chapter 3, Pastor Israel read that. Let's start from verse 11. Give me from NLT, verse 11. 2 Peter chapter 3 from verse 11, NLT. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, he has been describing something before. What holy and godly life we should live. Looking forward, you see that? Now, this is a position of every believer. Every believer should look forward. Huh? Just like when you are in courtship. How many people are in courtship? I know you not raise up your hand. Because you are not even sure of that relationship. You know, it is, I don't understand. Believer dating. How can you be dating? Dating for what? Let's just check whether it will work. What are you checking? You are a believer. You are a child of light. And you are checking whether it will work. You have committed your heart to someone you are not sure it will end well. There's something is wrong with you. And so that's why you are not bold to say, I'm in a relationship. Because you don't even know where he's heading. And the man touches you, touch every part of you. No, say, now listen, do you go to market, do you go to supermarket and say, let me taste it first before buying? We are completely away from the standard and the values of the kingdom. A man who has not paid your dowry is already touching you, kissing you. You know, I was in a meeting and I was talking about kissing as not right, as a sin. And I was looking as if I'm a man who came from the moon. And I was among leaders, sir. Workers in church. So where is it in the Bible? Where is it in the Bible that you should eat? That you should bait? So why are you baiting? Huh? Where is it in the Bible that you should go to the toilet? That you should ease yourself? Huh? You know, when a believer wants to run away from the truth, that's what they ask. They say that kind of nonsense. And was it Pastor that was saying it? No, can you come to church and handle the microphone and say, you know, yesterday I kissed the person I'm having a relationship with. It was so sweet. I said, praise the Lord. We'll throw you out. Banish you away from the assembly. That you have the audacity to commit such grievous sin and you come hold microphone and say that. Do you do it in a bodily light? Even me that is married, when I touch my wife when we are going to do, she will just use that and drop my hand. I don't understand, Bishop. We'll be married for 19 years. When I hold that time when we are walking on the road, she just used that like this and say, we are in public. And then you're not married. You know, on my street, there is one guy and one lady. Most of the time when we are going, they are holding themselves, sat by the gutter, holding hands. And in fact, at the point, Faithful said, I wish I can. This Faithful, at times, she can be blunt too. She said, I wish I can make a call and be talking in that call. Leave her alone as if I'm talking to someone on phone. Because it's actually disheartening. Every time, most of the time when you pass, you see them. Ha! I don't understand. Hello? Yeah. Looking forward to the day of coming and hurrying it along. On that day, we'll set the heavens on fire and the helmet we met away in the flames. Verse 13. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth. He has promised us a world filled with God's righteousness. Verse 14, that's where I'm going. Verse 14. And so, dear friends, while we are waiting for these things to happen, make every effort Make every effort. Make every effort to be found in him. Huh? Living peacefully, peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in his sight. Make every effort. Meaning that, sir, it won't be easy. Make every effort. Now, why is he asking us to make every effort? Because we already have the Holy Ghost, who is our strengthener, who is our helper. So which means that with his help, I can make that effort. Make every effort. Make every effort. Try. Run. Not because we don't have feelings, but because of the kingdom. Make every effort. And so when you, when you love him, you obey him. When you love him, you look forward to his appearing. And those who look forward to his appearing, live lowly. This is why we live holy. We live right. Because where we are going, the Bible said those who walk in the flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot. Our pastor said, and I'm a good student. Pastor says, he says, sin and the kingdom can't coexist. Do you hear what he said that yesterday? You can't say you're going towards the kingdom and then you're living any life. It doesn't matter what you say. Huh? So it's not just what you say. Is in what you do, your being, that must impact your living. Are we together? Keep it. The kingdom demands it. What are you supposed to keep? Keep that love. Jude 1. Give me verse 12. Keep that love. Keep that love. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me. Jude 1. Let's just read Jude 1, 21 in James. He said, keep yourself in the love of God. Look at this again. Looking for the mercy. Keep it from King James. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal. It's the same thing. Looking for the mercy. That mercy is the same thing. He said, keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself. The word keep, it means to protect, to guard. Guard the love of God. Guard it because you need it. The love of God that makes you keep yourself away from sin. It is the love of God that makes you look forward to his appearing. And because you love him, you are looking forward to his appearing. Because you are looking forward to his appearing, you live right. The love of God constrains us. That's what the Bible says. So when you love him, so that's the love you must keep. And I love what Pastor just said. In fact, it's like the thing just burst open to me. That the world is removing every restraint. Sin is becoming so rampant. And you know what the Bible says? It says in the last days, sin shall be so common. Iniquity shall abound, and what? The love of many shall wax cold. Keep the love of God. Because, friends, when you don't love God, you can't run away from sin. When you don't love God, you can't obey him. Keep the love of God. Guard it. Protect it. Don't allow sin to affect it. Why do you need to keep it? Because it can be lost. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 18, NLT. David prayed that prayer. David prayed that prayer. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 18. I'm done. 29, verse 18. Yeah. He said, oh Lord, the God of our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, make your people always want to obey you. See to it that their love for you never changes. Friends, why is he praying? Because there's a tendency of our love for God to change, to win, to go cold. They say, see to it that our love for you does not change.
morning and say, God, help me.
See to it that your love for God does not change, because love can change. And the Bible says, for iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. They won't love God anymore. And friends, we are there. Huh? You know, people are actually tired. Have you seen this thing? People are tired even serving God. Did you notice, sir? I think you read that scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Look at what the Bible says in that scripture. Huh? It talks about things. It says people will love themselves. They will love money. They will love pleasure. Are we not seeing that today? Huh? I'm sorry to say if this offend you. Are you not saying something today that you can hardly have instrumentally that can work in the church without charging? These things were not so in the beginning. Now, what is abnormal is becoming normal. Do you even know that there are some churches that will be instrumentally from other churches and say, we will pay you better than what they are paying you there? And we say we love ourselves. Give you a house, sir. And these people, they will not even be part of. Because if I start talking, they say, I'm not attacking anybody. But friend, this is the truth. People can actually do anything without asking, so what is in it for me? I don't get it. Where is the love of God? Where is the love? Because friends, when you love God, you want to serve Him. I see workers in church who work lackadaisically, who do things like that. Listen, there's no fire. I know something is wrong, friends. Where is our love? It's the lovers of themselves. Lovers of pleasure. You see Christians stay on Netflix, stay on social media for hours, but they can't pick Bible and read for 30 minutes. They're already dozing. You have to fight it, friends. You have to fight it. Friends, love is not by mouth. Ask my wife. When I was cutting her, we cut her for 7 years. At times, I call her knee. Why did you have to join them? Bible said, don't follow multitude to sin. Sir, because I want to see her and I don't have money, I will enter night bus and beg the conductor, let me just hang from Port Harcourt to Ijebu, to Ogun State. I will hang because I cannot afford the transport. How much is it on those days? Maybe 3,000, 4,000. God bless you. Enter night bus just to visit someone. Yeah. You see, you have come alive because I talk about love now. You see, lovers of pleasure. You see how you came alive? You like love. Just came alive. I just mentioned. Don't mind me. This is how I talk. But that's the truth. So for me, I tell sister today, how can you say a man love you, doesn't call you? What kind of love is that? You are the one reminding him. You say you love me now. What kind of love is that? Bang on the bus. Sit on the load. Love is not by mouth. Huh? Go to night browsing. Because in those days there was no phone. Who dash monkey banana? Phone in those days is gold. Even SIM card is gold. The first one I ever used in my life was given to me by my former pastor. Who dash monkey banana? Where will I get food? So I would go to all night browsing because she was working in a cyber cafe. All night browsing. And the only thing we have is Yahoo Messenger. You know, this generation. Do you know Yahoo Messenger? Ah, you generation. This Gen Z generation. Yahoo Messenger, sir. I'll be chatting all night. Because, sir, I can't afford day, bro. Because, you know, all night is unlimited. You pray on the night, you can brass through the night. Oh, so we are chatting. I love you. I miss you. Huh? Inside mosquito. But you endure it. You endure it because of love. So if you can do that to a mortal man, how much more God? That everything you are asking for is because must be attached to money. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Lovers of money. He said, guard your heart. He said, let not my love change. Friends, when the Bible talked about Solomon in 1 Kings, I think chapter 3. Verse 3. Look at the testimony of scriptures concerning Solomon. Solomon loved the Lord and follow all the decree of his father David, except that Solomon too offered sacrifices. I don't want to go into it. But Bible said, but Solomon loved the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon loved the Lord. But when you get to 1 Kings chapter 11, from verse 1, let's go there. Friends, what I'm making us to see is that love changes. So when David said, Lord, keep also that our love does not change. Look at, and now King Solomon loved many foreign women beside Pharaoh's daughter. He married women from Moab, Ammon, Edom, Sidon, from among the Hittites. Verse 2. The Lord had clearly instructed the people of Israel, you must not marry them. Look at this. Look at what we read in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 4. The Bible says he loved the Lord and then he keep his what? His commandment and statutes. Look at this. But at this point, the Bible said the Lord had clearly instructed the people of Israel, you must not marry them because they will turn your heart to their God. Yet, Solomon insisted on loving him. At this point, Solomon have stopped loving the Lord. Because if you love God, you won't depart from what, you won't embrace what he said you should depart from. It was not enough. Verse 3. He had 700 wives of royal birth. You know, at times, you read some things in the Bible, and you were wondering, isn't it actually true? Even when we are trying to manage one. Or bishop. Even one. You are denying it. Even when you are trying to keep the marriage. To be full sometimes because you want peace. Huh? For me, I don't know how. 700 wives of royal birth, 300 concubines. And in fact, they did turn his heart away from the Lord. Friends, our heart can be turned away from God. So the Bible says, protect it. Protect it. Guide it. Jealously. That your love for God does not diminish by the passage of time. That your love for God does not diminish by the result of difficulties, challenges out there. That the love you have for God does not win by the struggle, the increase of iniquity that you see out there. The Bible talks about Lot, that his heart was weighed down by the atrocity of Sodom and Gomorrah. They did turn his heart away from the Lord. Verse 4. Look at this. In Solomon's old age, they turned his heart to worship other God. Instead of being complete, look at, in Solomon's old age, No, it started when he was young. But when he was young, it doesn't look like something that can destroy. But when he became old, the Bible says, the love, what he did, loving those people, turned his heart away from God. Huh? The next verse. I'm done. The next verse. Look at. And Solomon worshipped, astronaut, the godless of the Sidonians, the Molech, the destable god of the Amorite, as if it wasn't enough. When you read that, the Bible says Solomon built shrine. The one who built the temple of God ended up building shrine. Ah, friends. To Solomon, then it can happen to anybody. The man that God appeared to twice said, ask whatever thing you want. Listen, the Bible said these things were written for our examples. They are not stories. They are not stories. The Bible said those things were written for our example and for our learning. He said, especially those of us that live in the time that this age is coming to an end. So we are fortunate, friends, to have all these people. And we can see their life and see where these people miss it along the journey to the finish. And we can tell ourselves, friends, that we have the Holy Ghost, that these things have been written down for our warning, which means that we can avoid them. That is the whole essence of Immortality Readiness Conference. To keep our eyes on the goal, the finish, and that should impact the way we live. Friends, if it can happen to Solomon, it can happen to anybody. Can happen to anyone. You hear me? Please come on.
Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, one of the places that God used in warning me when I was still very young in the faith, because of the rough background, God took me to Nehemiah and he showed me Solomon. He said there was no king I loved like him. He said, but outlandish women turned his heart against me. And God specifically spoke to me from there. The outlandish women. And he almost finished me before I met my wife. Amen. Even before the ministry was started at all. And while you were speaking, I had to write it again. A reminder. Because if you think you have escaped, the battle is not over yet. Amen. My disciple told me before I wedded, he said, be careful. They are waiting for you. Amen. So, men and brethren, I want us to bow down our heads and talk to the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to help us. That our hearts will not turn away from Him. That God will save us. That our hearts will not be given to idols. You know, it is not until we bow down to images and all that before we become idol worshippers. The things of this world are idols on their own. And some of us has enough of them already in our heart. If you'll be sincere, talk to the Lord this moment. Father, the idols in my heart, I pray you drive them out. This afternoon, oh God, those things that has gained ascendancy over the throne of my heart, I pray you will drive them out. Whatever that has gained my heart other than you, O God, fame, the love for this and that other than you, we are to love you and you alone. We are not to love things. We are to love you and love your people. Lord, help us. Deliver our heart, O God, from those things that has gained them apart from you. You said to the church, In Revelation, you said they should return to their first love, the church in Ephesus. You said to them that they should remember the height from where they are falling. You have that against them. Lord, peradventure you have this against us also, that we have left our first love. We repent this evening, Lord. We ask that our heart will be recovered. Every heart that is lost already, oh God, for things. We ask that the Lord will recover tonight the heart of our young ones, those of us already mature in the faith. Lord, peradventure, our hearts have been stolen by the idols of this life. Recover us this evening, Lord. Recover us. The ass head that was falling, you recover it. Lord, we are asking, restore us this evening. We beg you, Lord, let our love be restored. In the name of the Lord Jesus, deliver our young ones, oh God, from the clutches of outlandish women. The way you saved us, Lord, deliver them also. We ask, oh God, in the precious name of Jesus. Thank you, precious Father. Glory be to your name. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord.